Greetings. I am Shisada Akona Kamada, and welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine. Good evening, everybody. This is Shisada Akona Kamada, and you are live with us tonight for Satsang. I am joined by Piela Yen, who is currently without microphones, so we won't be hearing much from her tonight. And I also have our core council members, Tim, Megan, and Linda, with me as well. Let's go ahead and get started tonight. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, get yourselves nice and centered while we clear the space. Take a deep breath. Mother, Father, God, that I am, through the great central sun hierarchy, through the office of the Christ, through the order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, keeper of the violet flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. I now bring forth the invincible ring pass knot and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light, one to surround each one of us, and I ask that they be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on Archangel Gabriel to seal them. And I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you and to humanity. And PLEN and I place ourselves in service to all of you tonight. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. Because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. Well done. Let's just stay in this space for just a minute. Keep your eyes closed. We have the new moon today and the solar eclipse on its way. Lots of energy moving, lots of incoming energies, which gives us an opportunity to be of extra service tonight. And since service is a large part of everybody's mission here, let's utilize that. Let's just take a nice, solid three really deep breaths with the intention that your physical vehicle be used in service in whatever means necessary for spirit and whatever serves in the highest good of all concerned. Just give yourselves three good, deep breaths and just allow that energy to move through you. All right. And now I want you to visualize for me a scintillating golden white light coming into your crown chakra up at the top of your head. And it's going to just pour down over you like a waterfall. It's going through you, over you, around you, and it's going to go down and ground right through your feet, right through your core, down into the core of the earth. And let's three nice deep breaths, just focusing on allowing that light to come through you and to go down into the earth. All right. Well done. If you experienced any eye twitching or tingling in your crown, there was definitely clearing going on there and some activation, so it's all good. All right, come on back. And thank you for serving with me. So this is an interesting night tonight. We are in Mercury retrograde for, a couple more days? I don't even know what today is, the 23rd. Is it till like the 25th or something? And so, of course, this is time when if electronics are going to go haywire, it is in Mercury retrograde. And we experienced that right before the show started because I couldn't get my laptop to do what it normally does. So PLAN is without microphone and I'm feeling very alone over here with no one to talk to. So we may have a little moving the mic around so that people can say things as needed tonight. So just bear with us. All right. How do we do this? Well, let me first just say, for those of you, you won't necessarily know who this person is, and that's okay. But one of the highest levels of teachers on the planet, his name is John Roger, and he transitioned yesterday. And that is important to us as a collective because whenever a major teacher and holder of light on the planet transitions out, it always ushers in kind of a new level of energy and new opportunities for those of us who remain in form in our missions. So, even if you don't know what your quote-unquote mission is, it does not matter. The fact is that you are here in service, and just you being you is you being here in service, okay? So I was saying to the group earlier when we were having our satsang here, right, in the office, that, you know, for those of you who do deep inner work, who engage in self-inquiry and who, you know, listen to our satsang program on the radio, you will most likely recognize and hopefully have felt a shifting kind of ramping up and coming, and it will continue, but it's important when someone like that does cross over that we recognize that really that ushers in a whole other dynamic that is going to start to occur on the planet. And part of that requires that anyone who is functioning from a higher level of consciousness really be prepared and willing to step, kind of step your game up to move into that next part of your journey, which will require more of you, whatever that means. And it's different for everybody, certainly. But that's exactly where we stand. So when... So since our like ongoing mantra has been like, you know, where do you make your choices from? I'll bring that back in again now because that really is key and it will continue to be more and more important. I was explaining to someone the other day, and I don't know how important it is that people have an understanding of it or not, but we'll just bring it forward. I was explaining the other day that right now, what we're experiencing as a collective is an overlay of dimensional outpicturings of the planet. So what that means in kind of just very basic terms is that people can be very unawakened in a very, very lower octave area of third dimensional outpicturing and be existing here simultaneously with those who are functioning from higher octaves within the third dimension, and those who actually have transcended that and who are, you know, Christed and functioning from the Christ here in form. And it's pretty unusual to have that happen on a planet. It can't hold it forever. So it's happening to allow people to continue their evolutionary path and hopefully to, you know, move into a state of higher consciousness so that when the split happens, they will be able to move with the energy that moves into non-polarized experience and consciousness versus staying in polarized consciousness. At some point, it has to split. So understand that it's not our jobs to know what that looks like. It doesn't even matter. The fact is, it all comes down to where we're making our choices from. So if we can do our best every day to stay conscious of our motivations, the things that are driving us, and where we are choosing from in our lives, making a choice from our higher understandings, making a choice from our heart, versus making the choice from the personal I that is completely self-centered and egomaniacal, then just the fact alone that you function from that place is going to move you into a space where you'll be able to make that shift when it happens versus someone who is completely unawakened and just, you know, functioning from that primal state of awareness. And when the shift occurs, you know, they're going to have to live that out longer until they're ready to make their own transitions. So, just recognize that that is what's going on here, you know, and it can't hold it forever. So there are times when you know, it's very interesting here because you actually are functioning in different kind of dimensions depending on the state of consciousness you're in at any given time here right now, which is really cool. I was looking for the word, like, what's the word for that? It's really cool. So you can be functioning in a really high level and then, you know, drop very quickly. And of course, my students know how that happens. Of course, identification kicks in and bam, you'll be, you know, right down into the negative states of mind and identified with it and thinking that that whole story is real and part of your identity, which of course it isn't. And that has to be transcended and seen through. When it's all transcended and seen through, the experience of the outside world will be completely different. So you have to remember that the external reality that you are experiencing is a direct outpicturing of the state of consciousness of the collective. All right. So there are two things going on simultaneously. You have the planet as a whole, the way the collective has imagined it, right, and what we're all holding on to as far as our beliefs and all the things that bind us. That's what we experience when we look at the earth and society and everything. And then within that as well, you kind of exist in your own little bubble of consciousness that is like a holographic duplicate of what the whole is experiencing. However, it's slightly different because it's dictated by your personal patterning, right? So the collective patterning is all the same. Right, there's only one pattern. There's one lower mind, and it's running the program that it runs. It's all it can do. Now, individually, you all are running the same program because there is only one mind. However, in each individuation, it looks slightly different depending on the imprinting that took place, right, through the span of lifetimes, and then very, very specifically through this lifetime. So everyone's imprinting is slightly different, right? So if you take someone who was, say, an abused child, and then you take another person who was raised in, you know, what we would kind of consider the Cleaver household, like a very, you know, happy, healthy kind of home, the two people are going to experience their own realities very differently, right? One of them has a certain outlook on life that is very different than the other person, obviously, based on their personal experiences. But at the same time, both, when they are triggered, have the exact same experience within the triggering. So the imprint is the imprint. It doesn't change depending on person. It's always the same thing. So when either of them is triggered by, I just got to look. Did that mean something to you? Okay. So when either one of them gets triggered, the response, the way that that person moves through the program of mind is the same exact thing. There is no difference between people in there. It's always the same. However, they each will experience their own world differently based on all the factors that went into their own lifetime. Does that make sense to all of you? Yes? Yes. Okay. Good. Pielian, you know, I wonder if I should just like hold my microphone. Does that make more sense? Was there anything from the last program that we ended with that we needed to kind of come back to that you can think of? I don't have anything like really specific that I felt like I needed to bring forward tonight. So, nothing? Okay. So the three of you, anyone want to say anything? Give us anything? Something for me to work off of? Come on. It's amazing how people get quiet when you ask a question. Okay, Megan, why don't you come on over and I'll let you speak. Someday you all will get to see Megan. She's our little diva. She reminds everyone of a little fairy. Okay.
Was this kind of a continuation of when we had Satsang Live? In me saying that I'm stressed out from all the work that I have to do, I still enjoy it, and there's still a smile on my face, and I look forward to it. But then there's something within that's like, I don't know how to explain it. It almost feels like panic, but it feels like excitement. It feels like anxiety. It's this whole mixture, but it makes me feel like I gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't know what to do with that energy.
All right. So this does go back to what we were talking about. I specifically addressed the group tonight to remind everybody that energy is just energy. So when Megan just brought that forward, it's a wonderful opportunity for me to bring this forward again. So she experiences this energy that she has tagged in certain ways, right? So she has tagged it as there's excitement and there's anxiety. And then what was the other one? Panic, yeah. Okay, so each one of those recognized is only energy. And isn't it interesting that she has an energy flowing through that she can actually label as three different things, right? And here's the really cool thing. Energy is just energy, right? Now, when we're sitting here in this third dimensional outpicturing, we experience energy as polarized. But anyone who has gotten into just the energy of something will actually experience both sides simultaneously as the same thing, right? So the difference between the energy of love, the energy of fear, now love being the polarized love, that's probably not a good example because it'll confuse people. Okay, so we'll take yours, the energy of excitement versus the energy of panic, right? Could be two sides of the same coin. You understand? One side is experiencing it from a positive place and the other side experiences it from a negative place. But is there any difference in the actual energy of it? Or is it just the story behind the energy that comes in and then labels it as one or the other, right? Exactly. So when you can really get in the space of just feeling the energy, then all you're left with is just that non-labeled energy. And the only thing that gives it the label is you. Right. So if you experience it as excitement, it's showing you that part of Megan is identified with the possibilities of, you know, work and what's coming. And there is excitement in there because there's opportunity for expansion and growth and all of these things. Well, simultaneously, of course, Megan's personality is going to polarize the other way as well. And it's going to experience the same energy in a negative way. And then we'll feel panicked. So it's excited, but at the same time, it goes exactly back to what you were saying earlier. The sense of as soon as the positive is in there, the negative comes right after it. Because why? Well, because the experience of consciousness in that moment of perceived separation, because it actually didn't happen, but consciousness perceived that it did and then believed it. And so in the experience of it, when it felt like it had separated from its source and actually what it is and became something separate from that, it had a sense of shock and confusion. And then after that wore off, all these other states of mind came into being and left it feeling very, well, lots of things, betrayed, abandoned, angry, frustrated, you know, just like a whole slew of things. And ultimately it moved into a space of desire, right? The desire for what? Well, for the opposite of what it had, because now it's sitting in this very negative spot. And so from that desire came hope, right? Which we in society, we think of hope as a positive thing. It's actually not. It's actually, hope is the big trickster. And everyone at some point in their work really sees that they've always thought of hope as it's something that's good. And then what they see is that underneath it sits a whole bunch of fear and a whole bunch of expectation that even though you have the hope, your expectation is it's really not going to work. If the expectation was that it wouldn't work, you wouldn't have to have hope. Understand? Hope wouldn't even need to exist. If you knew it would work, why would you feel hopeful? Right? Because hopeful, all the doubt's already in it. See it? Okay, good. It's not an easy thing to see. So, and then after the desire's there, the hope is there. So it wants to get back to this state that it left, right? The state of divine union, we'll call it. And it's not even that, because union even points to there being more than one, right? As if there's separation. So it's not even that. Words are really difficult to point to what I'm saying. And then in that state, it moved through positive states of mind, because in that moment, especially the first time around, its expectation was that it would be able to re-merge with the state that it had separated from. Okay, the expectation was fully there that it would work, kind of like a little kid who is convinced that they can fly, you know, and like goes out the door ready to give it a shot. You know, I'll just jump off the deck. Right. And then the parents like, no, don't do that. Well, they have no sense that it won't work, because in their own psyche, it's like, well, of course it works. Yeah. So that's what consciousness experienced. And then it came back to this space where it felt like it was about to reemerge. And then its experience was that it got pushed away again. Right. I always say it's like it hit a glass wall, like it couldn't even see it coming. It just bam, you know, ran right into it. And, you know, and sometimes it's like that. So I'll tell my little embarrassing story. So I was at the mall, like it was a couple of years ago, and there was a Swarovski store, you know, the crystal, Austrian crystals. So it's a very high-end mall. They have all these beautiful windows, and they had all these crystals in this window that were just absolutely stunning, because, you know, they have these high-powered lights on them, and they're just shining, and I'm like a fish when it comes to glittery things, you know, just like drawn right to it. And I walked over, and I was like completely mesmerized by this thing that I was looking at. And it was like, oh my gosh. And I like leaned in to see it closer and smacked my head right into the window. Like all these people looked over and I just busted out laughing. You know, it was just hysterical. I like left a smudge on the window from my forehead. Oh, it's very funny. But it's like that, right? So I had no awareness that there was a window there until I hit it. And then what happened? Shock and confusion, right? What the heck just happened? Oh, it's so funny. And this is exactly what consciousness experienced. And so the first time there's that sense of innocence to it, right? We're like, oh my gosh. But then it's like, now I know the window's there, don't I? So now when I go back
to try to get back in, I already know the window's there. See? Do you see how it shifts it? Yeah. And now the expectation is laced with the expectation of failure. You see? So for as hopeful as we try to be, right? And as much as we kind of muster ourselves up and go, it's going to work this time. There's always the voice in the back that goes, yeah, well, don't count on it, though. Don't count on it. Don't put all your eggs in one basket now, right? Seems like very good advice. Is it good advice in this world? Yes, absolutely. Does it work outside of this world? Uh-uh. No, it doesn't. And it doesn't work outside of, in the space of transcending this world. You know, it takes that level of innocence to transcend this world. You know, what did Jesus say? You know, like, come to the Lord as a child, like as a little child. Why? Because it takes that level of innocence. You have to see through the whole matrix and how it all functions, and then come from that space that is innocent, that expects that it's going to happen. Little kid who's convinced he can fly. Well, yeah, right? It's a very tricky thing to live in that space, but yet understand that we live in a world where it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. Do you see? It's really very, very subtle. But it's the expectation that sits underneath it that says that it most likely is not going to work, that is creating the reality that actually outpictures that it doesn't work. You see? The expectation leads to the precipitation. The precipitation meaning what actually comes into form. It's based on your expectation. Well, most of that expectation is unconscious and it's polarized. And that's what I'm saying. You have to be careful when it comes to hope, because hope holds within it the expectation of failure. So you have to move in the world from a place where your expectation is it absolutely is going to work. Well, why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it? Give me one good reason. Why wouldn't it? Right? To have that kind of mentality, but at the same time have absolutely no attachment to the outcome. So if it doesn't work, the only thing you can see is that apparently it just wasn't supposed to work that time. It had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with how much I put into it or how much I believed in it or anything like that, right? It's just for whatever reason that I can't see, because I can't see the whole picture. You're like a spotlight. Right? And you would need to be like a floodlight to get the whole picture of what's going on. You know, it's kind of like people when scientists tell you that this, even this earth and this reality is like, what do you call it? Well, like a tube torus. It's the Fibonacci sequence, right? And it's holographic, meaning that every piece contains the whole. It doesn't make a bit of sense, because we're looking around going, well, that doesn't make any sense, because these drapes don't look anything like South Africa. You know, like if it all contains the whole, shouldn't I see the whole? And it just doesn't make sense. The reason it doesn't make sense is because you're too close to it. But if you could back up far enough away, you'd see it. You'd see the whole pattern emerge, right? But we can't see it from here because we are a spotlight and we need a floodlight, right? That's what moving more and more into your multi-dimensional consciousness gives you, is more of that floodlight. So you can see the bigger picture, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then everything here makes so much more sense. It all falls into place. Right? But from within here, we can't see it. You can't even begin to see it. So that's the whole thing with hope. And that's why, you know, the panic comes. It has nothing to do with who you are. It has nothing to do with your capabilities as a teacher. It has nothing to do with anything other than consciousness is still identified with the thought that I have an opportunity and I want to meet the opportunity. And at the same time, I am equally scared I will not meet the opportunity. Come on over. Let the people hear you.
So are you basically saying that I just keep reliving the primal imprint over and over and over?
Yeah.
I didn't see it that way. I saw it more as I mean it just it felt like I have such joy teaching and being around students and being in service to them. But and that was still there, except I'd have these moments where it was like a flood of overload. I didn't see that as being in the primal imprint, though.
Okay. So as soon as you labeled it, that means you identified with it, or you couldn't label it. Yeah. And that is the imprint. That is the imprint. Everyone on the planet is the walking imprint in cycle over and over and over and over. That's what the personality is. That's all it is.
I can see that because now I can really see it because, for example, if I'm like at my desk and I'm doing whatever and I'm like, okay, I'm getting stuff done. And then an email pops up and I see it's something else I have to do. Now I can see. That's actually pretty funny. Then it's like, and then I can feel, now I see the confusion, and then it's like, oh my God, I have one more thing to do. And then I start to feel the panic. Okay, I'm there with you.
Okay, excellent. As soon as you feel confusion is all it takes. You are in it. Confusion means, regardless of the circumstance, confusion always means the same thing. It means you are spiraling in identification. Always, 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 always. Yeah. That's a beautiful thing to see. It's in that what just happened actually is a very profound moment. Now, for those of you who weren't sitting here, you can't see Megan, so I don't know how it translated over the airwaves, but having the recognition in a moment that literally in the moment when you can witness your own life as a series of cycles in a program is an amazing moment. Because simultaneously with that, there is an aspect of you that is outside of it. See, and it's the aspect of you that's outside of that that was able to witness that. You see? And so within it is just this amazing space of, oh, I'm not even that. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good stuff. That's worth the price of admission right there. Oh, that is good stuff. I hope for those of you, now, of course, you know, our core council members for the Shambhala Center are all advanced students. This is not something you come into overnight. Okay. Megan's been doing this work for several years, right? So, but I'm hoping that for those of you who, especially if you've been listening regularly, I'm hoping that there's a piece of that that you just really caught, because it's a really big deal. It's very hard to get, see, when you first are introduced to these concepts, especially a concept like, you know, your personality is a program and there's nothing individual about it and there's nothing unique about it, regardless of what it looks like, you know, it's a program. That's hard for the mind to even hear. Some people can't even hear it, even if you say it. Like they can't even latch onto it long enough to remotely grasp what you're saying. But for those who have developed, you know, further and their consciousness is a little more ripened, they can take that and contemplate it and sit with it and experience just that one thing alone can put someone into a space where they literally experience a shifting just in the contemplation of that. Because it's so profound. And when, you know, when I speak it, there is a part of you, because you're hearing me from a multidimensional place as well, okay? And there's a part of you that actually experiences the truth of what I'm saying. And it registers, you know, it registers. It's you know, you don't necessarily consciously witness it, but it absolutely registers and it stays there. It doesn't just disappear, it stays there. So every time you have another experience of it, it's adding another level of reinforcement to it, right? And then at some point, you have an experience like what Megan just had. She's been a student of the work for several years. She knows patterned consciousness is patterned. She knows that. She has heard from me countless times, you know, that you are not your personality, that your personality is a program. And she just sat here and you heard her saying, you mean to tell me that we're just experiencing the imprint over and over and over again? And I wanted to laugh because it's like, well, yeah, I've been telling you that for 3 years. But she saw it just now. See, and you never know when these moments are going to come. She saw it. She saw it. It's not that she's never seen it before. Remember, she's seen it, but it just hit her and it hit her consciousness in a way right now that has transcended any experience she's had of it before. Okay. And that's profound because she won't lose that now. That's hers. That's hers. Oh, she's getting a high five from Linda. Well done. Yeah, that's hers. And once you have actualized it, right, which is what just happened there, now you won't lose that. You won't lose that. And so moving forward, you literally will witness it that much quicker every time, you know. And it doesn't mean that you don't ever get in a space where you have forgotten that, oh, look, it's just the program running. Or look, that was the imprint. Sure, it happens, right? And that's part of you moving into greater levels of mastery, right? You have to walk it every day. And as long as you're in form here, there's constantly stuff pulling at you that doesn't want you to remember these things, yeah? And it's a battle every day, right? It's like you wage war every day with the mind itself. And for the longest time, it's just mind versus mind. That's all it is, you know, because mind is polarized. So you got one side battling the other side every day. That's what the imprint is anyway, literally. It's just back and forth and back and forth. And it's like a big, big old tennis match that just never ends. Back and forth, back and forth. Sometimes you really lob the ball up and it takes a while for it to get to one side or the other. And sometimes you just smack the dickens out of it and it's like boom, 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 right? Like a ping pong match, you know, those Asian dudes who play ping pong. It's like crazy. Yeah, well, that's the mind. Yeah. So very good. That's exciting. How are we doing on time? We good? Because I have no sense. What does that mean? She say 10 minutes? Can't hear her. Okay. Okay. All right. So what else? That was good.
I have to say.
Come, Linda.
This is really pretty exciting. Double high five here because I had the same realization because I've had anxiety all week over a situation. And I kept thinking, why on earth am I getting anxious over this? What is bringing this on? What is triggering this? And I go through and I process it and I'm looking at every angle. And it's like, ugh, same stuff, different story, same stuff, different day, mm-hmm. same stuff, same stuff. And then all of a sudden, as we're talking about this tonight earlier, and again, just a few minutes ago, it was like, yep, there it is. Mm-hmm. And I see it. Mm-hmm. And I see that it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's the imprint. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because during meditation, as I was thinking about it and trying again to look at, okay, so what is all this? Da, 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 da. And what I heard was, you're divine. Mm. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Just face it and do it. And mm-hmm. and it's all going to work out the way it works out. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that, you know, even in the witnessing of it, you're not even that. You know, it's to see it as it's okay. Well, yeah, because you aren't even the one truly experiencing the imprint anyway. The mind experiences the imprint. You don't experience the imprint. You witness it, but you don't feel it, right? Because the you that I refer to that is divine. And when I say divine, that doesn't mean like God inspired. You are God. Go ahead.
When you say you don't feel it, do you mean, for example, your back is killing you? And you might feel like you're suffering from it, but you don't, right? You step into a place where you're not suffering. You're just, witnessing it. But you would still feel it, right? Okay, so for example, going back to, with me being so busy at work and the panic and stuff, part of that is feeling it in the body. So it will still be there, but I'm not feeling it in the sense that I'm not identifying with it. I just let it run, correct?
Exactly. So you have to recognize the reason that you're feeling it in the body, okay, is because it is still a latent energy within your programming, within the pattern of Megan, and of course the collective pattern of just fallen consciousness. That energy wants to engage. Right. So even when it's been seen, you pull the curtain back and you see the dude behind the curtain, even when it's been seen, it doesn't mean that the dude behind the curtain stops doing what it was doing, and there's always the chance that he'll get away with doing it. And then you'll forget he was there. And that's exactly what's going on. So within there's a level of identification that for a while that kind of does identify, because that's the initial piece that leads to the that movement of the energy, right? So if you take it back to the biochemical part of your form, so it that identification has to initially kind of occur within the program in order for all those chemicals to get released in the very specific cocktail of chemicals that get released that you now call panic, right? And then they course through the body. So once they're coursing through the body, that's when you're feeling it. You feel that rush of energy. Well, that's what you're feeling, right? Now, the difference is that in witnessing the energy, if you can stay conscious that you are not that, that it means nothing, it's just energy, at that point, then that energy will dissipate all on its own. Versus you feeling the energy and going, oh my God, I feel so anxious, or I feel like I'm going to have a panic attack. Okay, as soon as that happens, that is the trigger for the receptor sites in the cells to literally open up, which will allow those chemicals to dock into them. Okay, and then the more that happens, it actually creates more receptor sites on each cell for the same chemicals. That's Linda's looking like, really? So this is where addiction comes from. And it's not any different than any other kind of addiction. You have someone who, shoots heroin, the very first time they do it, they get a huge high. And then within 2 months, if they continue it, that same dose won't do the same thing to them. Why? Because they've created more the cells have created more receptor sites to allow more in, and it requires more to get the same charge. Okay, so your emotional body isn't any different. It's the same exact thing. It's the same thing. That's why when you bring it to the imprint, the very first round of the imprint, we don't necessarily see shock. We'll see surprise, right? And not a sense of abandonment, maybe a sense of wonder that came of, wow, this is different, And then it goes, oh, okay, so, and then maybe it feels a little like, ooh, a little unnerved by it, because I'm all out here by myself in the dark, and it goes, well, it's time to go back. Let's go back, right? And then it hits the wall, and then you could see over the course of several rounds of that, it goes from a little bit of surprise to now the first time you hit the wall, now you're shocked, right? Oh my gosh, like, what the heck just happened? What happened? Like, seriously confused now. And now more negative stuff is happening, and they get amplified, right? Irritation turns into full-blown rage if left unchecked, right? okay, well, this is why. Because the more it's experienced, the more it's reinforced, and then the greater it has to come, the energy. You see? Okay.
I can't hear because I'm at your person. I said I just realized something. I'm very... Okay, this is... Megan.
Yeah.
Is a very anxious person and has been that way ever since I literally can remember. And so it's almost like when you're just saying all that, I was like, oh my God, I feel like I purposefully set myself up so that I can continue that. I can continue those chemicals going. I'm yes. So used to it. That's just like how I live.
That's right.
And so it just hit me that even though I'm excited about my job and I'm so happy about things and blah, 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 when I still find ways to get that fear, that panic going, that anxiety going, because it keeps the whole story going.
That's
of
right.
Megan.
You bet. That's exactly what's happening. And it's important because if we stood in the space of, I'm so excited about my job, I really love what I do, all the time, where's the victim? Where's the victim? Lower mind can't exist without a victim, right? Because it is the ultimate victim. And savior and perpetrator and all of it. But first and foremost, it's the victim. It always comes back to that, right? And that's where the anxiety comes from. As soon as you feel anxiety and you identify with it, you're victimized. Yeah, there it is. You can see how you create it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's exactly what the personality does. It sabotages itself all over the place. A lot of it is unconscious. You'll never see it coming. This especially trips people up because I will tell them that when someone comes to me and they have a spouse and they've had issues with their spouse or whatever, and I'm like, well, what'd you expect? You called it forward. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like I said, I wanted, you know, this is the kind of person I wanted, but when it all was said and done, after we were together, like his true colors came out or whatever we're going to call it, and now she experiences him that way. And it's like, you knew the whole time that he was going to be that way. You looked for it. It doesn't mean you were conscious of it, right? Because, and here's the trippiest part of the whole thing. Mind is singular. Okay? Mind is singular. So mind is looking in itself, yeah? It doesn't have far to look to find the match for what's going to trigger the patterning here. You see? Because it sees it all. It's singular. It's completely outside of your awareness, but it's singular. Yeah, wow. And that's exactly what's going on. You will always bring to you that thing that you say you don't want. You will always bring it to you because you're actually looking for it. Now, it's not conscious, but that's what's going on in the mind. It's always looking for it, and it sabotages itself over and over and over again just so that you can end up back in the victim role and reinforce that again. We good now? Is it time? Okay. So, it was a good session. Well done. Thank you, Megan, for sharing with us, and Linda. So tonight we're going to have our meditation, and I want to dedicate our meditation tonight to John Roger, if we can do that. And let's, ooh, he's here. Ooh, that's beautiful. So let's sit with his energy for the next 5 minutes. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next week. Good night.
You are divine.